fairly full, so I'm guessing we might not have too many.
Yeah, we've had apologies from Fred and Steve. Fred Cagle and Steve Gazzard.
Excellent. Thank you. No others from anyone? No? The meeting will adjourn to the public forum, but we do not have anyone that is registered to speak, so there's no need to adjourn. Item number two, Finance Committee meeting minutes. Firm signs of correct record, the minutes of the meeting held on Thursday the 16th of November. Anyone either comments or alternatively propose it and second it? Mark to propose and Ollie to second. Thank you very much. Matters arising, sorry. Do we have any matters arising?
Not that aren't covered in the agenda in some format or other.
Okay. Moving on to item four, declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Now, we quite often have some of these here when if you look down the list of grants, etc., and have anything. Does anyone have anything they wish to declare? Councillor Davey?
Yes, I do, because I have submitted the grant application for the Tiny Forests one, so I shall make myself scarce of that one.
Thank you. Any others? Councillor Toy?
I'm of this council's representative on the Citizens Advice Bureau, so I definitely need to leave the room.
No,
you don't need to leave the room, but I think if we took a vote, then that would be where you wouldn't vote.
Okay.
Anyone else? No? Excellent. Those are noted. Would all public and press be excluded? There's no public and press present. So, in which case, it's straight on to the report from the responsible financial officer.
Okay, so let me just. Just scroll down and then it'll be on the screen for you. Okay, so obviously we're nearing the end of the financial year. There are some cost centres that have exceeded our revenue budget, but apart from the Visit Exmouth expenditure, most of those we've agreed specifically to cover the overspend out of reserves. That was a proactive budgetary decision that we were going to cover some aspects out of reserves this year. So things like the elections, the civic events, some of the festival costs, the computer equipment, the new tablets that we bought for councillors, and the service level agreements, and also the climate and ecological fund. In all cases, we had underspend last year that went into reserves, and we've used that to top up the budgets this year. Visit Exmouth expenditure, the cycle of income and expenditure there is slightly out of kilter, because the membership scheme for Visit Exmouth runs from January to January. So we had income coming in January last year that effectively has covered the membership for this year, and we'll continue to be out of kilter on that for a while. But basically, we're generating quite a bit of income from the membership schemes on Visit Exmouth now, and we're using that income to pay for our social media, which we subcontract to Visit South Devon, and also that's funded the recent upgrades to the Visit Exmouth website. So that's quite a good position for us to be in. I was at the Accessory Management Partnership meeting this week, and I was asked to give a presentation on Visit Exmouth, and I was telling the tale about how Visit Exmouth's grown so organically over the last 10 years from that little beach hut that we had on the Strand when we first took over responsibility for tourist information in 2014. And we've grown it so organically, and because we have the brilliant team of volunteers, actually what we're able to deliver on a really low budget is amazing, really. And a lot of that is thanks to the volunteers that we have that keep our staff costs down. So I think that's a bit of a success story. In terms of our bank rec, so as of the 31st of January, balances are shown there on the screen. Three accounts: community account, business current account, and active saver account. No unpresented cheques. And then we've got 800,000 invested in CCLA. Now, you'll recall that there was a decision in our October meeting, I think, October-November time, that we were going to invest some more money in the CCLA account because we're getting really good interest returns on that at the moment. That has not happened yet because we have an issue with signatories for the CCLA investment account, and that's something that we need to resolve this evening. We need some paperwork signed, but actually it's possibly somewhat fortuitous that we haven't put a lot more money into the CCLA investment fund, because we've had the invoice in for Bapton Valley Park improvements, which is being funded out of SIL, and that's for £200,000. So actually, had we put it in, we don't have to be trying to take it out. So we will put the balance into the CCLA fund once we've sorted out the signatories. We have a bit of a problem with signatories on the CCLA account and with banking and with the trust fund. It's just an administrative nightmare, frankly. So we've got some paperwork and some signatory resolutions need to be recorded formally in our minutes tonight so that we can provide the supporting paperwork to our bank and CCLA and the trust fund share registrars.
Item 10 on
yes,
the agenda.
Yes. So that's where we are with CCLA, but we're still getting a nice return on that. So as of the 31st of January, we had a total of £2,541,190.73. SIL accounts for a third of that, almost a third of that. Total SIL funds that we've got at the moment are 973, just shy of 974,000. General reserves, 229. That is what we are obliged by law to hold as operating reserves. I mean, not that there's any risk of us going into administration or anything, but we're supposed to have 3 to 6 months of turnover as general operating reserves. And then the rest of it is earmarked reserves. Some of that is the sinking fund that we've got for a freehold property for the town council. And you've seen the reserves list recently anyway, so you'll know that it's broken up into lots of different categories where we're in some cases we're accruing for long-term expenses. Sometimes it's being used to subsidize revenue costs in the current financial year, so that will all be adjusted when we do our year-end close down, which is scheduled for April, and then those reserves will all be updated and we will bring a new reserve statement to the annual town council meeting in May. You will see that come down a little bit, the earmarked reserves, because as I say, we have proactively funded some things out of reserves this year rather than precepting it and putting it through the revenue budget. And then working revenue, which is effectively what's left in our budget for the current year, we've got £520,000. So in terms of payments, November we didn't pay out very much, we only paid out £22,000. But we made up for that in December because we had payments totalling 146. And as we've noted, that's because there were double payroll payments in December and also winter festival costs. And in January, we only spent 5,627. So it does sort of peak and trough a little bit. Funds held on behalf of others, so no movement on any of those. Nothing at all. Haven't made any progress with the Coast Hopper fund. I did note that the Millennium Wood, we talked about the trees as well, didn't we, last time, what we could potentially do with that tree money, but haven't done anything with that either. So they're just sat there at the moment. Alex Mark's got his hand up.
Oh, sorry.
When I would do it, then the gas
taken over virtually the whole of Cranford Avenue and Douglas Avenue and roads in between. But it will be done. And it's only a small amount, but I did say I'd do it and I will.
But
the gas people have got out of the way.
Thank you.
I think when we've got a bit of capacity, we just need to do a little bit of tidying up on some of those funds. So in terms of the charitable trust funds held, the William Adams Westwood Trust fund value has increased slightly, as has the Exmouth Projects Trust. The Barrett Request fund remains the same. Those funds are invested in the COIF Charity Deposit Fund. And then where we've disposed of US shareholdings, we've got £1,000 of those divested shares invested in the Teachers Building Society, and we invested £32,274.58 in 7IM. We did have a recent meeting with Thomas Westcott that has been trying to sort out the shares for us. And we're pleased to report that as of today, well actually it was sometime in February, we have managed to sell the Keurig Dr. Pepper shares. We don't know quite what the sale value was and what will now be invested into the 7IM account, but that means that the only shares that we've got currently are the Kraft Heinz ones. So we are getting there. It's only taken 10 years since I joined the council. It's
been
an ongoing battle.
They've been there as long as I've been there.
I know. So we're getting there. So the sale proceeds of those shares will be invested into 7IM. And then hopefully it won't be too long before we get rid of the Kraft Heinz ones as well. And then that will ease an administrative burden that we have with the management of those shares as they are US listed. HM Treasury stock, we've still got some national savings bonds as well on behalf of William Adams Westwood Trust. So that's the RFO report. Has anybody got any questions? I will say a little bit more about the trust fund stuff a little bit later, but is everybody happy with that?
I have one question, which I think it might be the last one. We talked about further investigations into the bank accounts.
Yes.
I just wondered if any progress had been made on that.
So we did do a little bit of online interrogation. We worked out that the charges would be slightly more than we're paying currently at Barclays. My sort of thought process really is that because we don't know, you know, how easy they're going to be to deal with, they are quite highly rated on all the clerks' forums. They seem to be quite popular. People seem to find that they are easier to deal with than some of the mainstream banks. I wondered whether we opened up an account and just put an amount in there and just to see how it goes, rather than closing down the Barclays account completely. That was my thought process. Whether we transfer an amount over that we use for our daily payments, our BACS payments, and see how we get on.
Yeah.
Councillor David?
I think you've anticipated me there. I was going to suggest the one we keep the 5,000 in and that everything goes in and out of, because that would be a good test for them. If they can cope with that, they can cope with anything, because there's a lot of traffic in that one. That would be a good test, and you haven't got a large amount in there most of the time, so could be a useful one to transfer and see how it goes. And I've seen some fairly good reports.
Zoe's really keen for us to move to Unity because of their sustainability credentials. Barclays don't have a brilliant record.
Somebody mentioned that the larger council's meeting, was it? Could it have been a guy from Falmouth?
Might have done.
They had a much bigger budget than we have, because that's a kind of second tier authority now. I think he was talking about the changes that have entailed. But I had a feeling he mentioned Unity Trust, and my ears pricked up.
Might have done. The difficulty we have is that an awful lot of banks don't just they don't recognise town councils, so we get asked for silly things like, you know, who are the directors? Well, we don't have directors. Well, you must have directors. We don't have directors because we're a council, you know, and you just find yourself, you know, they ask questions that are impossible to answer. I know that the National Association of Local Councils has been doing quite a lot of work, and they've met with representatives from the banking industry to, you know, try and lobby for better banking provision for town and parish councils, because there's 10,000 town and parish councils in the country. And you know, they should be able to come up with some banking products that suit us. So Andrew did send me some stuff through from Santander. I didn't look too deeply into it, so I think before we make a decision on Unity, we possibly need to look at that. Where we've struggled with other banks is that we just don't meet the criteria for.
He didn't. I mean, the chap I contacted didn't seem to be a problem at all.
Right.
To talk to us.
No.
It's our business banker, so he would have said, all the problems you're talking about. So maybe it's worth exploring.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy to. I used to go with Unity, really, not a better.
Well, I think. From a sustainability point of view, you know, Zoe's quite keen for us to move, but I think we shouldn't put all our eggs in one basket. Maybe we open an account, move part of our banking over, and then see how we get on. Yeah.
Does that need to come as a future recommendation back here?
It'll need to go to full council.
To full council.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, if you're happy to make that recommendation, we can put that on the April full council agenda. To open a second bank account with Unity. Are you happy for that? I'll need a proposal from the seconder for it to be a recommendation.
My only thing last time was more that I felt we should, with that recommendation, I think we need to explain why we've not chosen every single bank in the country, but that we have looked at some other banks and discounted them.
We've looked at a lot, but actually
yeah.
We don't meet the criteria.
So that,
there aren't many banks that provide banking services for town and parish councils. There's Lloyds, HSBC, Barclays, Santander. Although I haven't heard of many councils using Santander, and Unity. That's pretty much it. It's not easy. And of course, one of the challenges we have with Barclays is that because we don't have a Barclays branch in town anymore, there's actually no advantage to us going with a high street bank rather than an internet-based bank. So any time we want to do any physical banking, we have to traipse up to Exeter now. So.
Council stopped. I was going to say, what about TSB Bank?
They don't cater for town and parish councils.
So,
no.
I'm so surprised.
No.
Sounds entirely sensible that we tread carefully with opening one and seeing how we get on.
It's a question because I was thinking we had a good discussion last time, the time before, about Unity Bank. But it does seem sensible to wait on NALC, I think I've got the right abbreviations, to see if they're doing, what I wanted to ask really, is that work ongoing?
They've been doing it for several years, though. I mean, I don't think it's going to result in any. You know, I think what they're asking for is the existing high street banks that do cater for town and parish councils need to be more flexible with administration. The process of adding and removing signatories. We're still trying to add and remove signatories to Barclays Bank. And we had the elections in May last year. I mean, you know, it's just so cumbersome. So I think part of their lobbying is around the process improvements that need to be made and understanding the way that town and parish councils work.
I'm sure I'm not the only one around here who finds this an extraordinary situation when you think of the number of parish councils there are in the country, all who require a decent banking service. It just seems an extraordinary kind of lacunae in the whole
it is.
Support of councils. Well, I look to your expertise and experience on this.
Well, we have a meeting in May, so do you want me to bring a definitive report to the Finance Committee in May?
Yes,
and then we can make a recommendation.
Yes,
okay, that's
I'm
fine.
Happy with that. Yeah, that sounds a good show.
Okay.
Okay. I think that was you toward the end of your report, weren't you, Lisa? Were there any other questions for Lisa? No? Okay.
Okay, so then we move on to the income and expenditure. The income and expenditure reports were appended to the agenda, with the exception of those cost centres which have exceeded budget. There's nothing specific that I need to flag up. I don't know if anybody's got any questions. Bear in mind that some services we are billed annually for. So if you look at some of Chetna's budget lines, for example, you know, we've only just had the invoice in for grass cutting. So her account is showing, you know, a huge profit, or it's showing that it's in the black at the moment. But actually, once we've paid the bill, and I know that was discussed at Town Maintenance Overview this morning, but there are some invoices that come in towards the end of the financial year. So some cost centres will look as if there's a massive underspend, but it's because the invoices haven't been processed yet. But I don't think there's anything else that I need to highlight. Did anybody have any questions about the income and expenditure reports? No? If not, then we'll go on to the payment lists. Were there any payments on the reports that people wanted explanations of? No? A lot of them come up time and time again, actually, so you're probably familiar with them, used to seeing them on here. Just scrolling down, I can't see anything that's... Yeah, so well, exactly. So I suppose the reassurance for the rest of the Finance Committee is that every payment that we make through the bank account is dual approved by Alex and Ollie and signed off. So every single payment that we make is subject to that double scrutiny. So Charisse and I don't make any payments direct without those two authorizations. So. Yes, so then looking at the bank reconciliation then, which is the last item on agenda 7. So the bank reconciliation, is there one on here that's later than November, Charisse?
There should be.
That one is...
Yeah, December and January should have been in there. I can't get.
We'll need somebody to sign those off anyway. So if we could have, they're probably towards the end. I probably just haven't scrolled down far enough yet. We'll need someone to sign off the bank reconciliation, basically to verify that the balances that are on the bank statements match the bank reconciliation on the agenda.
Who hasn't done it for a while? Mark puts hand up.
Okay, so when...
is it just the one person? Is it fine, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
So I'll get... perhaps we can do that at the end,
yes,
then, and then
yes.
We can show you the bank statements are all in the agenda pack anyway, but you can see the originals if you want to. So that's all on item 7.
Moving on to the more fun part of the agenda, grant applications, item number 8. So we're under budget so far, as it were, for what we've got, 15,760 remaining, and we've got applications for 5,265. That's not an inducement to just pay them willy-nilly, but we're in a positive position. So I think, were you able to just to put them, share them on the screen, and we can have a quick look and talk through them. So the first one being, I know hopefully many of you have read them in advance, so just take them one by one. The Open Door Men's Shed. Anyone had any comments? comments on this one they wanted to make?
Seemed like a very worthy thing to ask for as a planer, isn't it? And it's about 1,000 more than they're actually asking for, so it's only a contribution towards. I'd be happy to propose that one. They're providing almost the same, but another 1,000. So they're supplying quite at the back to stop people going behind during the week. And so perhaps they would be kind enough to make us a small gate or something.
Well, we could ask them. I mean, they do.
I just think it would stop people going, because that's what's happening. And it smells awful in the summer.
They're always looking for a project. So
yeah,
sure
that's a good project.
I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
Councillor Williamson.
Oh, I was going to say, if that hasn't been a second note, quite happy to say.
Wonderful.
I was very impressed with the numbers that were given in the presentation at the annual meeting about the use of manshed.
Mm-hmm.
I should say it was about 40 users on average, obviously.
It's in the presentation, isn't it?
That's very, very impressive. I'm quite happy to support.
I think so. We've got a proposer and a seconder. I think all in favour of.
No.
Sorry.
Pauline hasn't got a vote.
No worries. But I'm sure you would be. That's carried then. Next one, Exmouth Sea Scouts. And obviously we had the very interesting and really encouraging presentation from them, didn't we, at the last council meeting. And they've asked for £1,500. I mean, I suppose my question more with this one was, do we feel we should increase that slightly, but any comments from everyone else. Just hugely impressed with the work they're trying to do down there. So Councillor Stott.
Well, I think after 25 years of waiting for this, for their sea or their new hut, I think they deserve it, to be quite honest, because I feel very sorry for them, because East Devon gave the sea cadets about 335,000, and I don't know how much they're actually giving the Sea Scouts, but they're probably nothing now. And I think, you know, it's a bit of a shame really, because they've waited all this time without any toilets, without any electric, and they've been doing training, and they actually, that's a training centre for the Sea Scouts, and I think, you know, it'd be good if we could give them that, and I'm not looking to.
Anyone else?
Yeah,
Councillor
Toy? As a former member of the Sea Scouts, I remember 40 years ago, I think it's a worth the investment.
Okay.
Councillor Paul? Thank you, Chair. I tend to agree with the sentiments that are on the table. I'm even more than happy to give them a bigger grant than what they've asked for.
Okay. Should we come back to that one at the end? Let's see, in terms of the amount, and let's carry on. We're obviously happy with approving it as itself, and we'll discuss the amount at the end. Adventure Therapy, £1,215. For Exmouth Coastal Activities. I don't recall seeing Adventure Therapy before, not that that's a problem.
No,
that
I don't.
New one, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we've had that before.
Any comments from anyone?
Can't actually see that one on here.
I would just say again that it seems to be a very worthwhile charity. The CIO, aren't they? The CIO. Doing useful work, I think. And it's for a specific project, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't open the grant applications. from
water
the
SharePoint
link.
If you know where we put them, if you go up to account in finance.
Any other comments on that?
Scroll down to grants and salaries. Grants
I
in there.
Just want to ask some question. I noticed that, well, we've given the town band £1,000, but they are also claiming or will be receiving an SMA. Can you have the two in 1 year?
Sorry, so we haven't got onto the service. We're not doing the service level agreements at the moment. We're talking about.
We'll get on to that. But I mean, my initial thought, we have done that before, but we'll discuss.
But also, the service level agreement is for the coming 12 months. It starts April the 1st and takes it through, whereas the grant we gave them was for the previous 12 months. So they won't get two grants in one financial year. But we can come on to that in a minute. I can explain. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the adventure therapy then, do we have I don't think anyone else wanted, had anything to say, do we have a proposer and seconder? Councillor Davey, Councillor Woodward. And then the final one, which we have our representative in the room, the Exmouth Tiny Forests.
Where I
don't think you need to.
You don't need to leave.
You don't need to leave the room
no,
at all.
No.
Is that the one that's up the Exmouth Tiny Forests?
Obviously, I work that.
Did you, Ollie? It's more than fine. If you could, would you just briefly summarise what it's for? Obviously, you won't be voting on it. So.
Yeah. Well, the tiny forest has already been planted, of course. So
I think you could
not be aware by now. Part of the whole ethos of the tiny forest is the education side, and as well as the pupils who will keep visiting it to take measurements and monitor how much biodiversity, how many mini beasts and so on they find, they are going to continue doing that, but for the general public it's just helpful to have a board there. And I've seen lots of examples of ones from around the country where tiny forests put up a board to explain to people who planted it, why it's there, and what the hoped for outcomes are, which is mainly rapid growth from the trees and a rapid increase in biodiversity. So the whole theory behind it is that you get much faster growth and much quicker increase in the number of creatures that start to inhabit it. And the reason East Devon put some conventionally planted trees around it was so that they had a comparison, so they could look at whether the trees outside that area did indeed grow more slowly and whether they didn't attract as many creatures. So it's really just an information board to tell people about it. Usually have some artwork. So I've got a quote for the actual board, which will be an aluminium board. I asked for 800 by 600, which is fairly sizable, about 2 feet by 2.5 feet. They said you'll have to give us the artwork and the text. We can do the text, but we need someone to do artwork. My daughter's an illustrator, so we thought we'll go to her first, but we are getting other quotes as well, or trying to. It's not proving very easy, but we are.
Councillor Stott.
Can I just ask, is this a bona fide club? Is it a constituted club?
It is. If you go back
has
up to the
charity?
Top, it is a CIC. It's a charitable incorporated.
So it's got its own.
Isn't it community interest company? So
yeah, community interest company. That's right. Community interest.
It has its own bank account.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
It does.
It has its own bank account.
Nothing in the bank account and nothing has ever gone through it, which is why I couldn't be supplying your bank statements.
Yeah.
The bank account is literally only in the last few weeks that it's been set up. Mm.
It is a project that the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party has supported, though, And we have received reports on it, and we've seen photos of it. And several people went down and actually planted trees, didn't they? So,
yeah.
So
yeah,
we know it's a bona fide project.
Massive support from East Devon District Council.
Yeah,
I've seen that on Facebook.
For
that's
once,
why
for once they
came,
did the right thing.
Any other questions?
She's
got
more.
Do you have
any
more space? I mean,
I'm
thinking
the
trees on the size of
it.
In line with.
Do you have another question for me? Yeah, I was
going to
say these trees are down at
Carter
Avenue, I presume.
Yes.
So are they going to cover Carter Avenue with trees?
No.
Because if they're putting in 600.
I suggest you go along and have a look.
Yeah,
but
600
trees.
600 trees. Is a lot.
That's right. They,
so it's Carter Avenue.
The 600 trees fit in an area the size of a tennis court.
So that's quite a lot of Carter Avenue in playing field, so is it?
I suggest you go down and have a look. You will be surprised how little of the Carter Avenue play park it actually takes up. The extent from the hedge, there's a footpath along the hedge, so we've moved out from that. The extent across the tiny forest is about across this room. That's it. And it's a semicircle. So it's actually not much bigger than this room.
Interesting.
There's still lots of space down there, if that's what you're worrying about.
lots of people were concerned about that. I will also say we spoke to every resident in Carter Avenue, and quite a few of them came across and helped to plant the trees as well. And several of them are keeping an eye on it. So we have a lot of support from the people in Carter Avenue, and nobody should have been unaware that it was happening. And then, when East Devon said they wanted to plant extra trees, we thought we'd better go down and tell them that as well. So we did another leaflet drop to let them know.
Councillor Nicholas, do you have a question?
Well, I was just going to say about my experience with the woman that phoned me up and said, I understand you're interested in Brixenden Park.
Yes.
The answer is no way it goes there until we get all our stuff put in.
Well, that's what we were told. So that's why we went to the fifth playing field. We worked with Russell.
Well, they've got to put it. They said through maps, beautifully done, I'll give them an art, but she only said, well, there'll be two or three trees and a fence will be around them so people can go in and peace and quiet and sit there. Well, two or three trees I could understand, but the way they wanted to place them is where the football pitch is.
That wasn't the site we were looking at.
Well.
I don't know.
I
went up and visited the site actually, and it was near the play park, but right up at one end of the ground where the play park.
This is about obviously approving the sign. This isn't about the forest as a whole.
They're asking for money for Carter Avenue instead, aren't they?
Who are they?
Whoever, the
Tiny Forest
people.
So Ollie's one of them.
There's a small group, the Tiny Forest, CIC. There's about maybe 10 of us in total. Not everybody makes it to the meetings.
Well, they're still working on Brixenden Park to put the rest of it in. There's a number that has to go in there.
Jerry, there's no intention to put trees in Brixenden Park. I don't think that's relevant to this application.
Using two projects, actually. We did look at a site in Brixenden Park as a potential site for the Tiny Forest. The ward councillors were notified, Fred Cagle and Manny Chapman, and they said no, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So we looked at other sites. This was with Russell Giblet from East Devon District Council. So we abandoned the Brixenden site, so whatever's going on up there is nothing to do with the Tiny Forest. And so the only tiny forest we have put in or ever got any traction with was the one in George V playing field. And that's the only one that has gone in, and it's the only one at the moment that is likely to go on East Devon land. But we don't know. They're quite excited about it. There may be others.
Well, I sent an email to the lady that phoned me and said, could you wait until they put in everything that has been promised?
Hmm.
And
Alex,
I just didn't know how I heard it anymore. That was the case.
How long ago was that?
Oh.
I think, Ollie, if we could maybe take that off separately, because this
is
about the sign. Are we happy to pay for a sign for the existing tiny forest at Carter Avenue?
Yeah, that is what I'm applying for, yes.
Yes, so that doesn't mean that we're going to do anything in Brixton. That's got nothing,
no,
you know.
No,
but
no,
I suggest you speak to Cherry on Block.
Just so that we can have a nice looking sign.
Yes, so why don't you chat to Cherry at the end of this
project.
Meeting to understand the concerns?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I have a proposer and a seconder for the tiny forest? We've got Councillor Hall and Councillor Woodward. This is for the sign to say this is a tiny forest, etc., etc. All in favour? Okay.
Thank you.
Carried. Great. Right, moving on to the SLAs. Lisa, I'm going to put you on the spot, but do you know offhand which of these are new people that are asking for SLAs that we haven't given SLAs to before offhand?
The town concert band is
the
only
band.
One that's new, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously the amount that's been requested in total, we do need to come back to the Sea Scouts, let's not forget that, we'll do that at the end, we haven't done that one. The total is slightly over what we have in earmarked for this.
So we've, in terms of the revenue budget that we've agreed for the year, it exceeds the revenue budget, but we've got money in reserves that we can top it up with.
We don't need to let that overly...
However, it's probably worth noting, this is what we awarded last year. So Centre Stage applied last year, they haven't applied this year. Citizens Advice, we awarded 7,000 last year, they've asked for 8,000 this year. Exmouth District Community Transport, they've asked for 5732 this year. We gave them 5552 last year. That's worked on, there's a scale, and it's worked out on an amount per resident, per elector. So as the electoral roll goes up, so our contribution to the District Community Transport Scheme increases year on year, but it's a modest increase. The football club have asked for the same amount. Just a reminder that that's in respect of the switching gear and the electricity for the floodlights, because Exmouth Football Club is actually a limited company, but it's the floodlights specifically for their air ambulance landing site that we fund as a community initiative. And that's, they're asking again for a contribution of 3,500. Exmouth in Bloom, so last year we gave them 7,500, they've asked for 8,500. I have heard that they might not be entering all the In Bloom competitions this year, but I don't know if anybody's heard that, and whether that would have a bearing on the contribution we make. That's for you to debate, I think, because obviously a lot of what we pays for plants and things as part of that entry into the In Bloom things. So the town concert band, they've never had a service level agreement before. They've asked for £1,500. The National Coast Watch, they had £1,500 last year. They've asked for £2,000 this year. Open Door, they had £7,000 last year towards their Haven and Parent Hub, and they've asked for the same amount for this year. Exmouth Beach Rescue, which complements the RNLI service during the summer. They've asked for £1,500, which is the same as last year. And then Exmouth Museum, they've asked for £2,000, which is a slight increase on the £1,500 that they asked for last year. So just in terms of the Exmouth Town Concert Band, Cherry, they asked for a grant before Christmas, effectively for the current financial year, and we agreed that through our grant scheme, but we discussed that because they weren't asking for money for a capital project, and they support several of the town's events, they support the festival, they support Remembrance Sunday, We thought it was more appropriate for them to apply for a service level agreement on an annual basis, so that we could award them an ongoing contribution towards their rehearsal costs in recognition of the support they give to our own events. But the service level agreement will be for 24-25, 2024 to 25.
Okay.
The grant they got was in the financial year 23 to 24. So they won't be receiving funding in the same financial period. It'll be in the next financial period.
Right. Yeah, I knew there was another one as well.
Yeah.
A similar thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we've allocated 37,000. All of those add up to 39 if you award them in full. But as it says on the agenda, we've got an amount in earmarked reserves that you can supplement the in-year budget with if you want to award the full amounts to everybody.
Okay.
I think you're all familiar with everything, all the services that they offer, because they're...
Yep.
They come in every year.
Just go down in order, or go in less controversial order, if any of them are controversial, which they're probably not. It's probably easier just to go down in order. Citizens' advice. So that's, the only sort of, don't think there's any reason why we wouldn't support them. The increase is, we all know how things have increased, haven't they? So that's an increase of £1,000, did you say? Can't
yes.
do the maths in my head.
Yes, it is.
About 15%. Anyone want to? Well, yeah, Mark, Councillor Williamson to propose, and Councillor David to second. All in favour? I'm all in favour, yeah. Yeah, Exmouth and District Community Transport, from what you've said, Lisa, that it's a very precise amount they've asked for, and it's based on a set formula.
Mm.
So, again, I don't see any reason, unless anyone has anything to say, to challenge that one. No? Do you have a proposer? Councillor Woodward and seconder Councillor Paul. All in favour? Excellent. Football club is exactly the same amount as previously and is again for the provision of the floodlights, so we've discussed that very much before. Again, still need that service for the, it's the ambulance, the night, is it the...
air ambulance, Devon air ambulance.
So again, unless anyone has any questions, I don't see why we would... Councillor
Davey. I'm quite surprised they haven't asked for more, because I'd have thought electricity costs have gone up.
I sort of think we're morally obliged to support that, because we negotiated on behalf of Devon Air Ambulance to use the football club for the air night landing site. No. But it's also around the operation of the night switching gear and things, because the helicopters can activate the floodlights remotely using the night switching apparatus, and that's how they turn the floodlights on so that they can land at night. And we were instrumental in getting that service instigated as a community landing site. So,
yeah, well, they've not asked for more, so I assume that they're fine as we're already in budget. Unless any other questions, do you have a proposer? Councillor Woodward seconded, Councillor Port again. Right, Exmouth in Bloom then, so that was the one, so that was, that's gone up by...
1,000.
1,000, and I guess I don't know whether the point about they might not be entering competitions is with respect to hearsay or you know, anything we can act on, but Councillor Davey.
From memory, they asked for more last year, and I think we decided to trim it because we were a bit... squeezed on what we actually had available, so I'm inclined to say maybe we shouldn't do that again. Jerry is quite
open though, that she asks for more than she thinks she's going to get, because she says if you don't ask, you don't get. So they are quite bullish. I think you need to perhaps look at it in comparison with some of the others.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, we're paying more than for citizens' advice, as an example. I think that was one of the considerations last year, was, you know, they do a great service, and obviously, but in the current cost of living, is, you know, compared to what we're paying on others, is that right?
They are trying to keep their costs down. We had the same conversation in the town maintenance this morning, by using more perennial plants and fewer animals.
Any other thoughts on Exmouth in blue? In particular toward the amount, I think.
Should we pause?
We can come back, we can come back.
Yeah.
Councillor Paul, we'll come back to it, but Councillor Paul.
At the moment we're guarding costs are going up because of fertiliser issues and stuff like that. So I'm quite happy to propose that we accept yesterday as it stands. We can have 1,000.
Councillor Williams?
Well, I'm quite happy to second David on that. But I'd just like to make us a note that I think we probably spend more time looking at it. I mean, if they were to cut, this is an SMA, isn't it? I'll support for this year, I suppose that's what I'm saying. But we'll need to review it, I think, in a year's time.
I'm seeing lots of nods to the proposal. Councillor Stockton.
Well, I mean, I've heard from Gerry herself that they might even fold because a lot of them, they couldn't get a committee together. And she actually told me not very long ago they were having great problems getting a committee because they're all on walking sticks now and they're finding it difficult to do it. And if it lands up at the town council, I mean, that's one of our biggest tourist attractions.
Mm.
You know, without the flowers, you know, not the beach, but the flowers, people come in. Just
yeah,
a small amount of money to pay for what actually, you know, brings the tourists in and that.
I think then, you know, as we put the proposal a second, and as you say, Ollie, we did cut back on it last year, so we're in. They probably asked for less this year than they would have done if we'd given the full amount last year. So I think we could vote on that then in that case. So all in favour of the 8.5? I think that is then carried.
Thank you.
Town concert band. So yeah, as you explained, I recall the conversation now. They do obviously a lot of activities for the town. I certainly feel supportive of it, but happy if anyone wants to say anything else. Councillor Davey.
Just like I said, they give a lot of opportunities for younger people as well. They do bring on a lot of young players and speak from personal experience. There's nothing better than playing a musical instrument.
How impassioned. Anyone else?
Just second.
I think that's got to be Councillor Davey to propose after that lovely speech and Councillor Williamson to second. So that all in favour of the town band. This is very strange.
Having said that, I suppose we can add a rider to the effect that given on condition they don't rehearse.
Very good suggestion.
But it's hard to tell the difference.
Moving on then, NCI Exmouth. Did you say this was a new one?
No, this is a standing one. Yeah, it's gone up slightly. They've asked for £1,500 in prior years, but they've asked for £2,000 this year.
Any comments?
Having been one of the few I feel who's privileged to have visited the Coast Watch Tower and been taken up in and seen what they do, I was extremely impressed with what they do. They're logging every craft that goes out, and if it doesn't come back, they want to know why. And obviously, they are keeping an eye on a lot of the activity that is going on in the water, especially during the summer months. And they told me you wouldn't believe some of the activities they see, and that they are a kind of essential eyes on the beach. I know the lifeguards are down there as well, but the Coast Watch have got the advantage of being higher up, and they are in liaison with everybody, with the Coast Guard, with the lifeboats, with the lifeguards, and I think they do a really important job in not very good circumstances.
Councillor Woodward.
I'll propose that, I'll second that. If please propose it again, I'll second it.
Yeah,
I would say I've also been there. It's amazing what they do. So that's great. All in favour of that one? That's wonderful. Getting there. Open door. So this is the same amount as last year.
This is specifically for the Haven and Parent Hub. That's the specific part of it that they're asking for funding for.
I'd be surprised if anyone had any concerns, but does anyone have anything they wanted to ask?
I'd be very happy to propose this.
Councillor Williams,
I thought some of the figures that were given us the other day at the annual council meeting were really quite staggering.
Yeah.
We all know as all councillors how great the need is out there. Everything that they do touches people.
Yeah.
Really.
Thank you. Councillor William Proposer, do you have a seconder? Councillor Woodward's nodding. All in favour? Carried. Exmouth Beach Rescue, £1,500. I don't want to look at
somebody else
saying I mean, I'm happy to propose that one as well. I think Mr. Seaside, you know, we're not going to cut back on tax and stop.
Well, I think they do an awful lot of good work,
yeah,
actually as well, because remember we had the championships of the beach rescue down here.
National Surf Life Saving Championships.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, they do really good, and they teach a lot of youngsters.
Yes.
Which is really good, and it teaches them all sorts of safety things, and a lot of them go on to become lifeguards.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good.
Okay, well, I'll propose. Can I propose, and Councillor Stott after her speech can second.
Pauline can't second because she's not yet a voting member.
You'll have your moment in the sun, don't worry. Right, that was Beach Rescue. So then we're finally on to Exmouth Museum, which you said was the same amount as last year, and I think we know that this is a...
No, that's gone up 15, that's gone up by 500.
That's gone up by
1500. Yeah, it's gone up from 1500 to 2000.
Yeah, it's gone up to 2000. I think we know that, so again, another thing in the town, a small group of volunteers keeping that going in difficult circumstances, and I know they're very frugal there as well, so again, I think it's an important thing for the town. So, unless anyone has any comments, I'd like to propose that one.
Yeah, they have a mortgage to service because they now own the premises.
But this is presumably not for the servicing of the mortgage, is it? This is more for the service of the museum, I guess. So, yeah.
Core activities,
yeah.
Assignment, yes.
Do you have a seconder? Councillor Hall.
Who proposed it, sorry?
I proposed it.
Okay, and Matt seconded.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
So then we need just to go back to, having heard all the worthy causes, does that make us feel, in terms of the Exmouth Beach Scouts, in terms of the amount, do we want to stick with what they've asked for, or do we want to give them a bit more? Obviously it's different group of funds to the SLA, but...
To my knowledge, they've never applied for any funding before from the town council. I'm not aware in my 10 years that they've ever asked for anything.
Years,
yeah, no. And you have got an underspend in your grants budget.
Yes,
can we go over
the 15? Yeah, I mean, on our application guidelines, we say, you know, we don't normally give more than £1,500, but that's more about managing expectations because we normally only allocate £10,000 for grants. And if, you know, we had two grants in for £5,000 each, that's your budget gone. So we, on the application forms, we say, you know, a guideline is £1,500 and we don't normally award more than that. But that's more in terms of us being able to manage expectations so we can help more people during the year. But as you've got an underspend,
anyone want to suggest a figure?
It's a massive amount they need to raise, isn't it? 115,000.
Mm.
Well, what's left?
Well, there's approximately 10,000 left after what we've awarded.
Maybe we shouldn't do that.
I don't think we should do that.
5,000.
Yeah.
They've asked for 1,500. Give them 5,000.
Councillor Hall.
I'd be happy with that.
I have to say, after the presentation, it was really quite moving, I thought, to see what it had done. So I'd
skills, giving them confidence, giving them companionship.
Future counsellors.
I think also if you were to look at what we've given, if you were to look at what we've given the Sea Scouts, the Sea Cadets and the Air Cadets,
yeah,
I think you would find that both of those organisations have probably had five or in excess of £5,000 through various grant applications. I mean, I know the Air Cadets have applied to us on lots of occasions for money, and I think
the Sea Cadets
did as well.
Lots and lots
yeah.
of money. Well,
yeah.
The
so
the
I, you know.
I don't know who suggested that. Did you suggest the five, Ollie?
Yeah.
And you have a second, and David's second, and I'm certainly more than happy. So all in favour of that then.
So £5,000.
Yes.
They will be pleased with that. Okay.
Right.
I think I might have talked off one of Rob Master's kids.
the bonanza is over.
I'm serving at school when I was
So there we go. So now Pauline's moment has come. So item number 10.
Yeah, so first of all, the reason for... inviting Pauline to this meeting is that we're struggling to have core trust fund meetings, and we always report on the trust fund finances at the finance committee, so it seemed logical to merge the trust fund with the finance committee and then to ask the trust fund members that aren't on finance, which is actually only Pauline, to become a member of the finance
and
committee.
Yes.
So that would ordinarily be ratified at our May meeting, when we will also need to adopt new terms of reference, which I've updated and I've put a copy on everybody's desk. The bit that's changed basically is from 2.14 onwards, where we've merged in the terms of reference that apply to the Trust Fund Working Party. So once these have been adopted in May, the intention would be for this finance committee to be responsible for the effective management of the council's charitable trust funds, of which you know we've got three, and the council acts as a corporate trustee for those trust funds. But we do need to appoint some signatories to enable us to administer those funds. We have to do annual returns in line with the Charity Commission requirements. It would be this committee then that would consider any applications to pay out grants from those trust funds, although I have to say we haven't had any for 18 months or so. And the difficulty around the William Adams Westwood Trust Fund is that the charitable objectives are so tight that there's only two organisations in Exmouth that can apply to us for funding, which is Haven Rest Home and Abbeyfield. Those are the only two that qualify, actually. And we've tried to change the objective, the charitable objectives, with the Charities Commission, but they've said whilst there are two organisations in Exmouth that technically meet the criteria, they won't allow us to change them. So that is a bit of a challenge, and it's... prior to the formation of this council in May, we did do quite a lot of work on this with the Charities Commission, and with the help of Thomas Westcott, chartered accountants as well. They tried on our behalf, but we haven't succeeded in changing those charitable objects. So that's the purpose, really, of merging the trust fund terms of reference with the Finance Committee terms of reference, and then any decisions that need to be made around that would be brought to this committee in future, and Pauline would be invited to join.
Well, as I've never been to a trust fund meeting ever, just curious, so what can they actually apply for then?
So the William Adams Westwood Trust Fund was a bequest from William Adams Westwood in his will, and he said that we need to use the funds to support the elderly sick in Exmouth, but it has to be charitable organisations that support the elderly sick. So. So only Abbeyfield and Resthaven are qualified. So what they've asked for in the past, they upgraded some wet rooms once before. They've asked for, kitchen equipment, yeah.
Can they use it for like, say, entertainment for the people that are sick, or, you know, like courses that they can do, or different things that people come in and sort of teach them different hobbies that they can use them for things like that?
But at the moment, because they are the only two that are run on a charitable basis, they're the only two that qualify.
Which two is that?
Abbeyfield and Haven.
Yeah, Gosford Lane.
Yeah, those are the only two that qualify.
In fact, he's a neighbour.
Yeah, so. And they're both, they are both aware of the funds, and they do apply to us from time to time.
Yeah.
So
they'd apply.
That will go through in the terms that in.
Yes, but what we need to do today is we need to nominate some trustees to those trust funds, because Lynn Elson and Tony Woodward are still listed as the signatories on those trust funds, and we need to have them removed, and we need to have three more people put on. Well, we're suggesting three. I think we were suggesting Alex, Pauline and Steve, I think, were the three that we were going to suggest. Steve and Pauline are on the were on the Trust Fund Working Party, and Alex, in your capacity as Chair of Finance. And then Charisse has got some paperwork that will need signing at the end of the meeting. And we thought then, I mean, we know that you can pop into the office,
yeah,
you know, quite easily to sign things. I mean, I know you can as well, Ollie, but you're a signatory on the bank accounts anyway. So that was the thinking behind it. And then we can get the signatories updated, if everyone's happy with that.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Yep.
That would also administer the project trust and the barracks.
Yes, it would be all, yeah. So
those are tiny, aren't they? I mean,
yeah, I think the Projects Trust, interestingly, it's only got £100 and something in it. But as a vehicle, you know, there are certain funding sources that we can't apply to as a town and parish council, but we could apply to as a charity. So I've always felt that as a vehicle, potentially to apply for funding for projects, it would be worth us keeping the Projects Trust open and potentially looking at using it more proactively as a vehicle to apply for funds rather than administering funds, because it's called the Exmouth Projects Trust. So, you know, feasibly any project that we wanted to get off the ground and support, we could apply in the name of Exmouth Projects Trust, and we might overcome the restrictions that apply to town and parish councils. So I think it's worth keeping it open. But it hasn't got very much money in it. But you know, also there might be an option for us to put some SIL money in it, and use some SIL funds to supplement that. You know, if we needed to demonstrate match funding, for example, and we wanted to use the Projects Trust as a vehicle to apply, we could potentially put SIL money into the Projects Trust to boost the fund balance, and then we'd be able to demonstrate that we've got some money in there for match funding. So. Personally, I think it's worth keeping it open for the administration's minimal on it, but it could be a useful vehicle, I think, going forward.
We have Councillor William Summons' proposal. Do you have a seconder for those?
I think Lisa's comments are very helpful, actually. You think of trust as being very static, you know, not unchanging. It seems to be there are actually opportunities in this to benefit Exmouth. So, but the matter at hand, I happen to propose those three that would seem to be very worth it.
Councillor Stocks.
Well, I was just saying, Lisa's perfectly right. I'm just an example of the beach wheelchairs. The number of times we actually asked if we could, then they said, if you're a charity, you've got a charity number? You know, and we need replacing those, and they're vital for the beach wheelchairs in the future to go on. And they're just one example. There's probably the other things as we grow.
I think also just the, because it's called Exmouth Projects Trust, it's such a broad name for a charity that, you know, we could use that to frame applications to all sorts.
I mean, even a lottery funding. You'd laugh if we did something, we could actually go to the lottery funding and you can, Awards for All, will give us money as a council, because you can use that. And and so I think it's vital that you keep that. Doesn't matter how much money's in there, as long as you've got that.
In the past, we used it to support. There was those lads that played badminton, and there was a chap that sailed, and the chap that played badminton actually got through to the, didn't he win bronze in the Olympics or something? He did really well in the last.
I think we saw,
Did we do the swimmer as well?
I don't know. I know we've supported some sailing. We supported some sailing. Some sailing.
Hopefully,
anyway.
Bringing the trust party into the finance will hopefully give it. If it's been struggling in that sense, we'll give it a bit more impetus.
Yeah.
Did we have a seconder? I don't know if we got as far as a seconder. If not, could we have a seconder? Yep. Councillor Davey?
So
are we allowed? Don't we're allowed to vote for ourselves? What are
you saying? No, you can vote for yourselves. That's fine. So Cherise, we've agreed Pauline, Alex, and Steve as the three signatories. All right.
Those in favour.
Carrie, thank you.
Excellent. And then item 11 is approve the following payments on a regular basis. Does anyone have any questions on any of these?
Most of them are paid on a standing order or direct debit basis already, but we want to add three direct debits, which is for Smarty, which is the SIM card for the beach wheelchair unit, mobile phone. People Safe, which is the alarm system that we use for the volunteers lone working in the beach wheelchair unit and in the tourist information service, and EE, which are the SIM cards for the town maintenance teams and mobile phones. So rather than us having to pay those bills when they come in, just for ease of administration, we'd like them set up on a recurring payment basis, please.
No other questions on any of those, in which case do we have a proposer? Which is Councillor Davey and seconder Councillor Toy, all in favour? There we go.
That's Karen, thank you.
So I think other than the next meeting, we need to speak to you about the paperwork for the trust. And then we'll just see
Mark needs to do the bank reconciliation, please.
Mark needs to do the bank reconciliation, and then other than that, we shall see you in June. It'll be light. Thank you, everyone.